Welcome to the June 13th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Over the past 24 hours, Bitcoin has basically been stuck below resistance at $8,200. Yesterday at around 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it went up as high as 8,220. And since then, like I said, it's stuck below this resistance of $8,200. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at $8,170. And it's been as low as $8,070 over the past 24 hours. So it's a narrow trading range between about $8,050 and about $8,200 in the past 24 hours. Zooming out to the weekly chart, basically, Bitcoin's been stuck between this resistance at $8,100 to $8,200 and support at $7,500 for the past week. Right now, we are near the top of Bitcoin's trading range low, and the market is watching and waiting to see, will Bitcoin break through this resistance? If Bitcoin can break through this $8,200 resistance level, it could approach that $9,000 long-term resistance level and 2019 high. So, yeah, the market's waiting to see if that will happen, and some people are posting all over crypto, Twitter, and the media. They're posting bullish signals and thinking that will happen. It could go either way, though, so it's better just to watch and wait. And there is support at $7,500 and longer-term support at $7,000 if Bitcoin does get rejected from this $8,200 level. The rest of the crypto market is looking generally bullish this morning. Ethereum is up 3.5%, near $260 now. Ripple is up 0.7%, trading just over 40 cents. And then Litecoin is like the only major cryptocurrency that's in the red this morning, surprisingly. Remember that during the past week or two, Litecoin was rallying more than any other crypto. Like, the rest of the crypto market was volatile, sideways, and even going down, and Litecoin was rallying and went up like 43% in 1 week from $100 to $143. But that rally kind of broke yesterday in the early morning hours, and now Litecoin is near $135 and down 3.2% in the past 24 hours. So this rally was caused by speculation regarding the Litecoin block halving, which is happening in less than 2 months. But apparently it was too much speculation. It probably went a little higher than it should have, because the block halving is important. It decreases the market supply of Litecoin by a good amount, because Litecoin miners, they mine the blocks and then they dump the Litecoins that they earn. Like, and generally miners dump coins as soon as they get them, because they need to pay for their electricity costs, they need to pay for their rent and food, and any other costs they have, and they've got to buy new rigs. So miners generally dump the coins they get as soon as they get them. So when the block halving comes, it'll decrease the market supply by a good amount, because those miners will have half the coins to dump as they did before. But yeah, so that's a big effect, but it hasn't happened yet, and the rally that was happening was just speculation regarding the block halving. So it might have rallied just a little too high, but it's not a pump and dump. It went up to $143, and now it's kind of stabilized at $135. So Litecoin does have a significant, like, 35% gain since this rally started. And Litecoin is definitely looking hot as that block halving gets closer. Moving on with the rest of the market analysis, Bitcoin Cash is up 2.4%. It's over $400 again, near $403. EOS is up 2.1%, near $6.50. Binance Coin doing really well. It's up 5.1%. It's back to a new all-time high. It's at $35.30 now. So that's the all-time high ever for Binance Coin. Bitcoin SV is up 11.4%. It's back into rally mode at $211 now. Stellar is up 0.8%. Cardano is up 0.7%. Tron is up 1%. Monero is up 2.8%, near $91. Dash is up 4.7%, near $157. IOTA is up 1.1%, trading near 45 cents now. Cosmos is up 3.8%. Ethereum Classic is up 4.1%. NEO is up 5.5%. Tezos is up 3.8%. Zcash is up 5.7%, over $90 now per Zcash. And Dogecoin is actually down 0.5%. So Litecoin and Dogecoin are the only major cryptocurrencies in the red this morning, and the rest of the crypto market's actually looking pretty bullish over the past 24 hours. And it's gaining more than Bitcoin is, like the rest of the major cryptocurrencies. So the Bitcoin dominance percentage, which is the Bitcoin market cap divided by the total crypto market cap, has declined from about 56% to 55.1% in the past 12 hours or so, actually. So yeah, the Bitcoin dominance percentage is dropping. The altcoins are kind of leading this current little rally bullishness that's happening in the crypto market, but I wouldn't call it a real rally yet. Bitcoin has to break through that $8,200 resistance for us to get a rally. The total crypto market cap is now up to $263 billion, and that is 163% above the bear market low of $100 billion in December, but still $24 billion below that 2019 high, which was $287 billion on May 30th. One interesting factor that may or may not impact Bitcoin's market is there were two oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz, which is like the choke point between the Persian Gulf and like the Indian Ocean. So the Strait of Hormuz is right next to Iran, and it's a hot spot for global conflict because Iran's having tensions with the United States and the rest of the world. The United States has put really heavy economic sanctions on Iran. And the Strait of Hormuz is kind of like a way for Iran to leverage their power because they kind of like, they're right all along the Strait of Hormuz, which is a major oil shipment route. Like 20% of the whole entire global oil trade goes right through that strait, which is right next to Iran. So these two oil tankers got blown up and nothing's confirmed yet, but the United States is blaming Iran for these oil tankers. And it's like the biggest news coming out of Iran in a while. And I don't know if that's going to lead to war or not, but a war between Iran and the United States would be like a major global conflict, and that could help increase Bitcoin's price. So it's definitely something to watch to see how that plays out between Iran and the United States because of this incident that just happened today with two oil tankers being blown up in the Strait of Hormuz. And another thing to note is that there are United States warships in the Strait of Hormuz, and they actually aided the oil tankers. They got the people off of the oil tankers before it sunk. Like, both of these oil tankers sunk, and they got the people off of them, so the U.S. Navy did that. But yeah, we have, like, the United States Navy right there in the Strait of Hormuz, right next to Iran, and things are blowing up. So it's like, we'll have to watch that closely, and it probably could impact Bitcoin's price. I think in the event of a war, Bitcoin's price would increase, because war generally makes the economy weaker. Like, the stock market would be weaker, global trade would be weaker, and lots of money will be getting spent on the war, and that would also cause inflation. Fiat inflation as governments print money to fund the war. So Bitcoin would probably increase in the event of a war with Iran. So yeah, definitely important to watch that. So that's all I have for the market analysis today. Moving on to the first story of the day. Bakkt is apparently going to start testing their physical Bitcoin futures on July 22nd. So they're asking people to start signing up now, and they're going to start testing them on July 22nd. I'm not sure if this exactly means that they're actually going live and this is like a small test to start, but it's really like a launch of it. They are saying it is the launch of the physical Bitcoin futures, but I'm awaiting more details to confirm that. But anyways, Bakkt physical Bitcoin futures has long been anticipated by the crypto markets because right now we have the CME Bitcoin futures, but they're backed by cash. So like there's no actual Bitcoins involved in CME Bitcoin futures, and that's not very good for the market because people are buying lots of the CME Bitcoin futures. And it doesn't increase the spot price of Bitcoin at all when people buy CME Bitcoin futures. But if people buy backed physical Bitcoin futures, it would increase the spot price of the market because actual Bitcoins are involved. These backed physical Bitcoin futures were expected in like 2018. They were expected a long time ago, but Bakkt has been having problems with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, which is the regulator in charge of approving futures markets. But apparently Bakkt is going to self-certify. So that's something Bakkt can do because Bakkt is a subsidiary of the Intercontinental Exchange, ICE, so they could self-certify their own futures market here for Bitcoin, and that looks like what they're going to do at this point. And the problem apparently between the CFTC and Bakkt has been the fact that Bakkt is going to custody their own Bitcoin. So generally with futures markets, like, custody is done by another company instead of like the futures market company itself custodying the product in the futures market. So Bakkt is creating their own warehouse to custody Bitcoins, and that's fair enough. I mean, and even a single individual could custody their own Bitcoins with the right protocol. So I believe Bakkt could custody their own Bitcoins, basically. So, yeah, that's like why the CFTC has been opposed to Bakkt, though, because they're going to custody their own Bitcoins. But they are setting everything up to do that. They're going to self-certify, and they're doing testing as of July 22nd. I don't believe this is the final launch date yet. So we're still waiting for, like, the day it actually goes live for the whole public. And it will be pretty big news, and it's a bullish sort of news story. If this actually does happen, it probably will help increase Bitcoin's price long term. Moving on to the next story. Circle and Coinbase are attempting to expand the distribution and usage of USD coin, USDC, which is the second most popular stablecoin. It's well behind Tether, though. So USD coin has a circulating supply of $343 million. And it's a stable coin, so each USD coin equals a dollar. And then Tether has like $3.4 billion of circulation. So it's like 10% of the circulating supply of Tether. So USD coin is trying at this point to expand their distribution to compete more with Tether. So instead of USD coins just being issued at Circle and Coinbase and redeemed at Circle and Coinbase, they will also be issued at other financial institutions, other crypto exchanges, I suppose. So they're opening up the ability to apply to issue and redeem USD coins as a business, and people that sign up for this, they'll be able to decide on their own fees for redeeming USD coins for dollars and then issuing them as well. So that's like a sort of business opportunity for some crypto exchanges and stuff, and it may help USD coins expansion. So we'll see how that unfolds. And yeah, like I said, USD coins the second most popular stablecoin, and sometimes people consider it the most reputable stablecoin because Tether has had some problems in recent months. Well, first in late 2018, like October 2018, around there for a couple months, like Tether lost its bank account and the price of Tether went down to 90 cents at one point, and it was like a panic. There was a run on the Tether. Tether survived that, and then more recently, the New York Attorney General's office sued Bitfinex and Tether, and that caused Tether to have a little bit of a price shock as well. So USD coin is sometimes considered the most reputable and safest stablecoin because they definitely have secure bank accounts in the United States via Circle and Coinbase. And then Tether has like a bank account in the Bahamas. They run through one little bank called Deltic Bank in the Bahamas, while USD coin has very strong bank accounts in the United States. So if USD coin is able to, you know, increase the amount of people that could redeem it and distribute it, that might help USD coin actually rise up to compete with Tether, but that's going to be a long-term thing, and we'll see how that unfolds. Moving on to the next story. The case between Craig Wright and the estate of Dave Kleinman continues. So this is probably the biggest court case in the crypto space's history, because Dave Kleinman and Craig Wright mined together 1.1 million Bitcoins. And then when Dave Kleinman died, Craig Wright did not give any of those Bitcoins over to his inheritors. So that's why the family of Dave Kleinman is suing Craig Wright in the federal court in the District of Southern Florida, where Dave Kleinman used to live. Previously, the prosecutors and the court requested that Craig Wright provide a list of all the public Bitcoin addresses, like the addresses where all the Bitcoin was held. And Craig Wright actually said that it's too hard to do that because it's divided between many different key shares, something like that. And the key shares are distributed to multiple individuals through the trusts that were created to hold these 1.1 million Bitcoins. So Craig Wright literally did not give over any of the addresses for the Bitcoin and did not show where the Bitcoin is. And the judge said, you better, like, give me the addresses. Like, and I'm granting the plaintiff, like the prosecutors, which is Dave Kleinman, he's granting them the full rights for discovery. They want a list of all the people that are involved in this trust that's holding the 1.1 billion Bitcoins, and they want a full list of the addresses too. And the judge specifically said, but to be clear, and I think this is clear in my standing order, as you can tell, I am not happy when this happens. When someone gets a discovery request, objects to it, forces the court to rule and adjudicate the objections, and then comes back at the end and says, oh, by the way, we don't have anything and we can't get anything because that's just a waste of the court's time, and your client needs to understand that. Your client needs to understand he is under the jurisdiction of this court. I will not hesitate to order him to come to the United States and appear in front of me to explain himself. So I don't know what other priorities he has in his life right now, but this better be one of them. So basically, the judge is saying he's starting to get really upset how Craig Wright is constantly just issuing motions to dismiss and objections, and then after all that, he doesn't even produce any of the evidence the judge demanded. Just reading this information, it seems like Craig Wright is actually saying he doesn't know where the Bitcoin is stored, he doesn't know the addresses, and he doesn't know where his 1.1 million Bitcoin is stored, and I don't believe that at all, and the judge doesn't believe it, but of course, this is all speculation until it's proven in the court, I suppose. But anyways, the judge seems to be on his last nerve, and Craig Wright could get ordered to come to the United States. He could get a default judgment against him if Craig Wright doesn't come to the United States or he doesn't produce any of the evidence the judge is demanding. He could get a default judgment against him for like the full 1.1 million Bitcoins, and then he might really become like a fugitive at that point. So yeah, this is getting very tense in the federal court for the District of Southern Florida against Craig Wright. So Craig Wright thought he was being quite savvy by having like these powerful lawyers try to dismiss the case over and over, and he's withholding the evidence, but it's actually making the judge angry, and when a federal judge gets angry, things could turn bad very quickly for the person that's angering the judge. So we'll watch how this unfolds. Moving on to the next story. John McAfee has been very busy. So John McAfee is a major crypto influencer. He has almost 1 million followers on Twitter. And yeah, he's running for president on a cryptocurrency platform. It's kind of like he's not going to be president, but he's trying to expand the visibility of cryptocurrency sort of thing. And he's on run in the Bahamas, so he's kind of like mysterious. He like fled the United States because he thought he was going to get indicted by the IRS. And who knows if that's actually happening, but yeah, he fled to the Bahamas at this point. But anyway, so recently we talked about how he's making a crypto debit card. And then also he's launching Freedom Coin. And I don't really understand Freedom Coin. It's supposedly a cryptocurrency that has no value relative to any other cryptocurrency or fiat currency, but it is Freedom Coin. And now he's launching, like, Magic McAfee. So I think the specific name of the site is called Magic, and it's going to trade cryptocurrencies between multiple exchanges. So let me just read the front page of this site, McAfee Magic, actually. Seamless automated. McAfee Magic enables traders to consolidate the cryptocurrency world into a single powerful dashboard. McAfee Magic provides traders with a standard set of advanced trading features such as auto-buy, auto-sale, trailing buy, trailing sell, stop loss, complete auto trade, etc. The magic is that traders have those advanced features even if they do not exist on many exchanges. That's McAfee Magic. So this seems like a great way to arbitrage. And what it is basically people would have to sign up for the exchanges with their own identity. And then they get the API key. And then once they have an API key, they put it into the site McAfee Magic. And then with the API keys, the site can do trades across the exchanges. So that's very interesting. And this seems like a good way to arbitrage putting multiple exchanges into the same platform. So a trader could quickly arbitrage between different exchanges. So it actually seems like a good idea, and it's already here. It's launched. And yeah, I guess that's interesting to know about. And it seems like McAfee's really ramping up his creation of cryptocurrency technology, surprisingly. So he's not just talking on Twitter and stuff anymore. He's actually creating new things. That's kind of cool. Moving on to the next story. The lunch between Warren Buffett and Justin Sun from Tron, the founder of Tron, and apparently other major cryptocurrency people, is coming up on July 25th on an undisclosed location in the San Francisco Bay Area. So it's kind of like a secret where it's going to be, because I guess that prevents other people that want to be at the lunch from just like showing up at that particular restaurant and then getting in the lunch. So usually, apparently, this Warren Buffett lunch, this happens like every year, and people... there's like an auction and people bid to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is called the Oracle of Omaha, and he's like one of the most famous stock traders in history, one of the most successful for sure. So yeah, Justin Sun paid $4.6 million to have lunch with Warren Buffett, and he has moved it. Instead, it's usually in New York. It's at a particular steakhouse in New York called Smith and Walensky in New York City. And apparently Smith and Walensky, the steakhouse, usually donates $10,000 to charity when the lunch happens there. But since it's moving, Justin Sun's going to pay another $100,000 to charity. So now he's paying $4.7 million for this lunch. And like I said, I think the reason he's moved this lunch is to make sure that no random people just show up without it being invited. Because if it was just at a known location at a known time, I think a lot of cryptocurrency people would totally show up there at the same time and kind of mess it up. So that's what's going on, and it's probably an important moment because Warren Buffett's a major, major stock trader with tons and tons of money, and he doesn't believe in Bitcoin at all. He's called Bitcoin rat poison squared and stuff, but it is possible over this lunch that Justin Sun and these other major cryptocurrency people that are coming could convince Warren Buffett that cryptocurrency is very useful and intrinsically valuable. I think this lunch could go either way. It could either work very well and Warren Buffett will become excited about Bitcoin, or he could get upset at the fact there's like 10 or 20 or 30 different crypto people trying to tell him stuff about Bitcoin, and he doesn't like Bitcoin apparently, and he's trying to eat lunch and he doesn't want to hear all that stuff. So we'll see what happens with this. Moving on to the next story. A new blockchain-based game is going to launch on the EOS blockchain. It's called Upland Me. And apparently it's kind of based on Monopoly, where people buy properties, but it's not like normal Monopoly. So normal Monopoly, it's like you play with a few of your friends and you buy properties across the board and you try to make the other people bankrupt. In this case, it's going to use non-fungible tokens, NFTs, and when you buy a property in Upland.me, which is the website, you get to keep that property forever. So it's not like Monopoly where the game resets and someone wins. It's like literally... like, you're constantly trying to buy properties and maybe sell properties, and make money on that via EOS. It'll probably use EOS as a currency or maybe like a token on the EOS blockchain, probably, actually. And this reminds me of Decentraland. So Decentraland was like a virtual reality game that never really launched. It still hasn't launched yet. It's been in process for years. And it's like a blockchain-based game that's kind of like Second Life or like World of Warcraft, like a RuneScape all put together, but more like Second Life, where you like build like a little business. You can build your house and you buy and sell things like it's a virtual reality. So that's what Decentraland's supposed to be. It probably will launch one day, I think, but it hasn't launched yet. It might take a while to launch, that being said. But anyways, Upland Me is a lot like Decentraland, except Upland Me doesn't seem like you can like have a virtual reality. So it's a lot more practical. Like, they'll just have like little blocks showing like, oh, this is the Golden Gate Bridge. So yeah, it's based on real properties. Like, you can buy the Empire State Building or like the biggest building in Miami or like the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff. But it's just a little block, like it's a little square thing that shows the building sitting on top of it, or like it's a card that shows like you own the Golden Gate Bridge or something. So that's a lot more practical and easier to make than like an entire virtual reality like Decentraland. So we'll see how this goes. It's an interesting way to like make a virtual economy where people are buying and selling virtual properties in like a game sort of fashion and making money on that. So yeah, I'm interested. And the most interesting thing, like I said, is that it's more practical. It probably will easily launch instead of being stuck in development for years, because developing a virtual reality game linked into a blockchain is actually quite hard, as Decentraland has proven. So that's all I have for you today on this June 13th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode, and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also, join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made over 400% profit since July, and that was even during the worst of the bear market. They were making tons of money. So if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. And there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading their trade analysis, you could become an expert cryptocurrency trader. They'll teach you which cryptocurrencies to go short and long on at each particular time, where to buy, where to sell, which cryptocurrencies to buy, which cryptocurrencies have the best potential. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.